VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, it just never ceases to amaze me as to what lengths we will go as a nation to see that the most vulnerable, the most innocent amongst us is killed. I mean, as we see the reaction, even since the first the leak document of the overturn of Roe v. Wade and then the actual decision by the court, to see the violence, the mayhem, the vandalism, the firebombing, the continued threats that are taking place against pro-life centers. Where's law enforcement, our law enforcement agencies and Department of Justice and attorney generals and district attorneys? Where are they in times like this? And yet we see on the contrast in which there is a pro-abortion center targeted. And within days, not too many hours after this happens, I mean, it's all-out effort in order to see the perpetrators to be put to justice. Well, friends, I believe that there is an unequal justice system that's taking place in this matter of abortion versus life. We're going to delve into many issues today, but we'd like to welcome back to Crosstalk Pastor Jim Hardin, the president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. Jim pioneered the first measurable and repeatable medical model in the pregnancy center movement, helping over 650 centers nationwide to become more effective in reaching more women and saving more babies from abortion. He has written extensively on medical ethics, executive leadership, and pro-life strategy. And Jim, so good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Thanks for having me, Jim. It's an honor to be here.
You were with us just over 6 weeks ago telling us about your pregnancy care center being victimized by Jane's Revenge on June the 7th. But for those who are not familiar with what took place, did not hear the interview, not recalling the information, if you would just first briefly summarize what happened to your center.
Sure. Well, as you know, with the leak of the Dobbs case overturning Roe in May, that sparked a pro-abortion crime wave across the country, the first one being a firebombing of a Madison pro-life organization. And Jane's Revenge, the pro-abortion domestic terrorist group, took responsibility for that, and they gave pro-life pregnancy centers 30 days to shut down or face the consequences of continued violence. They vowed that that would happen. 30 days went by, and Compass Care's facility, we have multiple facilities in New York, Compass Care's medical facility in Buffalo was brutally attacked by multiple incendiary devices, multiple perpetrators. I got a call at 2:30 in the morning on it was a Tuesday, June 7th, from my regional executive in Buffalo, and he said, we've got smoke alarms going off. And I said, well, let me know when you get there. When he arrived, he found that police and fire had already been there, and the fire rescue team said that the windows were broken, and essentially Molotov cocktails were used to light fires and caused $500,000 worth of damage.
Wow.
The facility was totally unusable at that point, needed to be gutted and rebuilt. So the signature kind of Jane's Revenge scrawl of graffiti was on the side of the building, and it said, Jane was here. A couple days later, Jane's Revenge came out with another communique saying that they took responsibility for the firebombing and said, look, if you don't shut down, next time this happens, it's not going to be so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti, which is not a veiled threat. It's a murder threat.
Yes.
And we got additional threats after that. I had to relocate my family due to doxing concerns and all sorts of terrible things have happened. The violence has continued across the country. 47 attacks now on pro-life pregnancy centers and zero arrests.
I mean, we're going to delve into that more here in just a moment. I just want to get this point out, though. This threat happened. You saw the attack on your organization there June the 7th, $500,000 in damage. But this threat did not deter you, just as it has not deterred other pro-life organizations around the country. You actually opened back up August 1st of this year, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a great story. 52 days. It took us. It was a Nehemiah-like biblical experience for us. Very encouraging. 52 days it took us to, and, you know, with material shortages and supply chain issues and labor shortages, nevertheless, the people of God in Buffalo and around the country would not have Compass Care homeless. I mean, we, by the way, continued to serve patients all throughout the time we had to rebuild the facility. Mm-hmm. We had to relocate, obviously, to a different facility during that time frame. But we continue to serve patients because it's just that important. We're not going to let our crisis hinder us from helping women in their moment of crisis. So, yes, we reopened. We're serving patients on a full schedule right now as I speak in Buffalo. And in our flagship facility there, it's just really encouraging.
And the same determination is what I'm hearing from other pro-family organizations, pro-life organizations. And again, ladies and gentlemen, this all began on Mother's Day, with Wisconsin Family Action in Madison being targeted. And Jim, you've mentioned 47 centers have since received direct attack or and even more probably threats.
Yes, that's right. 47 that we're aware of. And we have a law enforcement liaison that's keeping track of all this and trying to do our own investigations into these things because the federal and state and local law enforcement are not forthcoming with any help.
Now, at the end of July, there was a Planned Parenthood site in Kalamazoo that was attacked. We understand that when that happened within 4 days, that there was this multi-agency response, found the suspect, arrested him just 4 days. Now, looking back at your pregnancy care center in particular and taking into account the plethora of other pro-life centers, 47 that have been firebombed or vandalized, graffitied or threatened, how many suspects of all these 47, how many suspects have authorities apprehended in this direct extremist attack against pro-life centers?
Well, that same question was asked to the FBI Director Ray by a Senate Judiciary Investigative Committee. That very same question. And he said, I don't have that number at this point in time. But I have that number, and that number is zero. A big goose egg. Not a single one.
Not a single one. And we've got Jane's Revenge claiming all of this. You mean the FBI just can't get this thing figured out?
No. I have to leave him anonymous, but he is in the know, and he knows the mountain of evidence that we have against these people. And he said, Jim, there's no reason that they don't have multiple perpetrators arrested. They know who these people are. And it boggles my mind that we have to wait for, I mean, they're slow walking justice. You know, I was thinking to myself, is it possible that the FBI and these other federal agencies don't have the ability to capture these people or to identify who they are? And until this Planned Parenthood was attacked in Kalamazoo, Michigan, I thought there's probably a chance maybe that really they don't know who these people are that are attacking us. But then I realized, no, that's not it, because it took the FBI 5 weeks to even look at our extensive video surveillance that recorded all the activity of our firebombing. And they put together a joint federal task force within hours after the firebombing or the attempted firebombing of this Planned Parenthood in Kalamazoo. And they found they arrested the man within 4 days, and now he's facing 20 years in jail. And rightly so. He should be arrested, and he should be facing this 20 years in jail. In fact, he's guilty. But what have they done with us? I mean, $500,000 in damage, and we've got no arrest, and they didn't even bother to look at the video surveillance for 5 weeks. And that's just reprehensible. And it means, you know what? In my mind, if they really are slow walking this and withholding investigative capacity because of who we are and what we do, then the FBI itself needs to be investigated.
We're talking with Pastor Jim Harden today, President and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. It is appalling. I mean, and these attacks have happened in many places around the country over 15 weeks plus. Not one arrest, not one suspect apprehended. We've got all levels of law enforcement involved, from local police. I'm confident that there are state officials. You've already mentioned federal officials that are involved with this. But on the very morning of the firebombing at your center at the Amherst, near Amherst, the police department there, we understand, took control over some of your equipment. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so due to the catastrophic damage, our power was out and we couldn't make any copies of anything that we had in terms of video surveillance. But the computer equipment was intact. So the Amherst Police Department, in charge of the investigation, it's a first-ring suburb of Buffalo, took that as evidence and did not let us view it. To this day, they are refusing to let us view our own video surveillance.
Wow.
I mean, that alone boggles my mind. But after 77, so today is 77 days since the firebombing. No arrest, no prospect of arrest. They're still pursuing leads, you know, et cetera, et cetera. All the lines they give everybody. But we said, look, you clearly don't need our stuff anymore. You've got everything you need. So give us our stuff back. It's our private property. And we asked for this. Our attorney asked for this on August 12th. We said, you got a deadline of August 19th. They have today still failed to return our private property. They still refuse to let us view it.
This was a demand letter from your attorney?
This was a demand letter from our attorney, and they are refusing to honor it.
Your own equipment, you've been denied to see the footage of this, and you shared this footage with federal law enforcement. The FBI, mm-hmm. you said, didn't even look at it until 5 weeks after the attack. I mean, this is outrageous.
It is outrageous. I mean, there are so many more things that I could tell you that are just untoward and unjust. And I think it's, you know, look, we're being treated like second-class citizens here. You described a two-tier justice system,
yeah.
And that's, I mean, exactly what we're experiencing. Is it okay that we're being treated like second-class citizens? Well, as a Christian, Jim, I believe I'm willing to be treated as a second-class citizen for the benefit of protecting other human beings, women and their preborn boys and girls. It's okay. I mean, Jesus was not just a perfect example for us, but also he empowers us through the cross to do just that, to sacrifice our rights, our power, our voice on behalf of those that need it most, the most vulnerable of society. We can do that. But we just need to make it clear to everybody that there is a two-tiered justice system going on. And we right now are fighting so hard, not because we're concerned that our rights are being violated. We're fighting so hard because we have to maintain a place in the public square to be able to continue to save lives. It's a two-front battle for us now. Not only do we have to keep serving women who are in desperate need of care, ethical medical care, and comprehensive community support, but now we've got to fight for the ability to keep serving women. They want to take away our facilities by firebombing us. That's one thing. Now they want to take away our rights to advertise. You see this with legislatures and Google. We've got a Google labor force that's trying to disallow us and trying to make Google disallow pregnancy centers from advertising on their platform to women facing unplanned pregnancy. And then, you know, we've got the Biden administration, Biden himself signing an executive order asking Merrick Garland to investigate the, quote, fraudulent practices of pregnancy centers and refusing to investigate the domestic terrorist threats that are actually threatening our lives. I mean, this is something out of a dystopian novel.
Pastor Jim Hardin with us here today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, indeed, it's unequal justice in this battle of abortion versus life. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with more information for taking place and even examining how local media is dealing with this as well. But stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, during Creation Week, what kinds of fish were created?
Chris, the Bible says God created each of the animals after their kind. It says on day 5 of Creation Week that the fish were the first truly living creature that he created. This was the first use of the term living. On day 3, he had created plants, but these are never in Scripture referred to as living in the sense that they had blood or the breath of life. Plants are biologically alive, of course, but not living in the sense of having consciousness. On day 5, however, the Bible says that the oceans were literally teeming with life. Each basic type of fish was created at that point. Since that time, a lot of varieties, say of the cod or the bass or the sharks, have arisen, but no new basic kinds. God created all things after their kind, back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
Friends, it's unbelievable what's going on. In order to advance the killing of the unborn here across this nation, Scripture tells us that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And yet we're doing everything possible as a nation to see that that continues on. You know, throw Roe v. Wade out the window, and we've done that, and now we have district attorneys and attorney generals in states. Oh, we're not going to uphold that. We're not going to do anything with that. How can God bless this nation? I mean, shouldn't there be a wake-up call with the disasters, the heartache, the grief, the crime, the violence, everything that's just soaring across this land, and we continue to thumb our nose at God? We're talking today with Pastor Jim Harden, who is president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. Jim, do you feel like you're being victimized again? I mean, the first time by the extremist abortion-supporting, Jane's Revenge individuals, and now being victimized again by law enforcement?
Yes, I do, quite frankly. Jim, we are being re-victimized. We're being re-victimized by law enforcement at the federal and state level. I mean, New York Governor Kathy Hochul said, well, you know, the state police are standing by to assist.
And they're standing by is what they're doing, yeah.
That's exactly, the operative word there is, phrase there is standing by. They need to be proactive. Federal and state law enforcement needs to be proactive in protecting all people equally, including those that disagree with them ideologically, perhaps most especially those that disagree with them ideologically, because they're being targeted for violent attacks and threatened with their very lives. So, yeah, I think we're being re-victimized. And beyond that, we're being targeted for legislative action, too. So New York State Governor Hochul came out 6 days after we were firebombed. I might have mentioned this last time I was with you. But 6 days after we were firebombed, and instead of investigating the arsonists, she signed a bill to investigate us, the victims, pro-life pregnancy centers. And while she was at the press conference, bill signing, she referred to us as subhuman. She called us Neanderthals. I mean, that is unconscionable.
Yeah.
They need to be protecting us instead of demeaning us. And what are they doing? They're saying that we're standing in the way of women, that we're harming women. Elizabeth Warren says that we need to be shut down. These are politicians, and they're weaponizing the legislature against us. We don't receive any state or federal money, and they want to investigate us because we simply don't provide or refer for abortion. That's it, and that's all. So what do we do? We continue to soldier on.
Yeah. And
while we're being vilified, while we're being demonized, and while they're attempting to marginalize us, we continue to speak the truth in love to women as well as to the rest of the country. This is a major moment in the history of America, and it's not just a political moment, although it is manifesting itself in politics. Mm-hmm. I saw yesterday New York State is a bellwether often for how the nation responds or does anything with respect to abortion. In the 19th congressional district, there was a special election held yesterday, and the idea was to replace the New York lieutenant governor's position, because the lieutenant governor left the 19th congressional district to become lieutenant governor. And so it's considered largely a conservative position. But a Democrat won it, and how do they win it? They won it by talking about abortion when the Republican pro-life candidate didn't talk about abortion. They're outspending Republicans talking about abortion when Republicans refuse to talk about it. The thing about it is we're going to lose. We're in danger. Pro-life people do not realize this, but we are in danger of losing all the gains that we just got from the reversal of Roe versus Wade at the midterms, because President Biden is saying, look, we need congressional and Senate wins so that we can, ensconce abortion as a right through the legislature.
So why are not conservative candidates, Republican candidates, why are they not talking about abortion and the right to life? Isn't that what we have, the Declaration of Independence, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Yes, I think the reason is because they've been lulled to sleep. They think that we've got this locked up. It's a win. We don't need to talk about it anymore. But that is so far from the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Democrats outspent Republicans $31.9 million in abortion advertising on the lead up so far in the midterms, when the Republicans spend probably, I think, $4 million. this is a huge, huge issue. The abortion issue has not gone away. It's simply retrenched. A new theater of battle has opened up, and I think the Republicans have just been lulled to sleep by this victory at the Supreme Court.
Well, so
it's not going to be a victory.
I was looking at LifeNews.com, and they had a story reporting that Planned Parenthood, the abortion chain, has budgeted a record $50 million for the November midterm elections. I mean, this is $5 million more than they spent in 2020, and I thought, where is this money coming from?
That's a really good question. Where is the money coming from? Because Planned Parenthood gets $500 million from the federal government every year. Well,
okay. So what they're I'll let you continue there. But what they're doing, they're tithing off the billions from the U.S. government in order to hit this $50 million for the midterms.
And tithe is a great word. Because it speaks to their religion. If secularism is their religion, then abortion is their sacrifice. It's what they need. For some reason, they are incredibly invested. These pro-abortion politicians are incredibly invested in this for-profit, separate private business that's basically Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a de facto government agency by virtue of how much money they're getting. And so they're turning around to give a lot of this money back to these pro-abortion candidates so that they can maintain a monopoly in the abortion industry and quite frankly, wipe out their competition. And their only competition are pro-life pregnancy centers.
Tell us about the local media. I mean, this is outrageous, all that you've laid out before. Is your local media, are they jumping on board? Are they exposing this story? Are they sharing the injustice? Are they calling out the FBI in this regard?
No. Interestingly enough, the local media is eerily silent. And I know that they're watching. We send out our press releases, and we get reports on who opens them. And we know who's opening our press. We know they're reading it. We know that they're being educated. But we also know that they're refusing to cover it. So what's happening in the local media, as well as national mainstream media, they're refusing, flat out refusing to cover this. On June 7th, I mentioned this earlier, but on June 7th, I stood in front of our smoldering facility, in front of a whole host of local media, and I said, I pointed back to our smoldering facility and I said, that's the face of the abortion industry. It's violent. And this is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. And I said, and they looked at me kind of funny. And I said, well, Kristallnacht, as you know, means broken glass at night in German. And it was the watershed moment when violence tips into the Jewish community in 1938 Nazi Germany. And the reason why it was the violence. It was basically a bunch of brown shirts went and broke the glass of Jewish-owned businesses in the middle of the night and lit fires in these businesses. And the reason why the violence tipped into the Jewish community was for two reasons. Number one, there was a refusal there was a lack of public outcry, right? And we see the same thing happening with the media. The media is not denouncing this. There's no outcry against this violence, and they're just eerily silent. And then the second thing is the refusal on the part of the political elite to criminalize and denounce the violence. Also, what we're seeing in the U.S. right now, a refusal on the part of these pro-abortion politicians to denounce. They're in my mind, a refusal to denounce is equivalent to fomenting the violence.
Yeah.
They're emboldening the people that are engaging in this kind of violence. And it's their job as government officials is to protect all people equally, including the preborn ones, which is basically the spirit of the Dobbs case reversing Roe. It's the job of government to protect, not to decide who qualifies as a person and who doesn't. It's to protect all people without partiality.
Let me ask you this, Jim. I'm just wondering what went through your mind when you watched or learned about the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago as it relates to their readiness and jumping aboard this issue, but their lack of response to whether it be your pro-life care center or the other care centers here across the nation, the crisis pregnancy centers. What went through your mind when you saw the FBI jump into action there?
The first thing that went through my mind when I saw the FBI engaging in Mar-a-Lago was they do what they're told. they do what they're told. And if the FBI is willing and able to jump on something so tenuous as a former president's residence, and at the same time refuse to pursue actively, aggressively pursue a manhunt for domestic terrorism against pro-life organizations, we've got a major problem. I don't care where people stand about where, you know, with respect to, you know their politics around Trump. The fact of the matter is, the FBI is being told what to investigate and what not to investigate. Plain and simple. They are withholding investigative resources from pro-life organizations and people who are being attacked and targeted. Zero arrests. But you look at what happened with the Planned Parenthood in Kalamazoo. You look at what's going on with Mar-a-Lago, the FBI there. I mean, this, something really, really bad is happening. And people need to be aware of it. And don't think for a minute that abortion has been outlawed or the abortion problem is going to go away. It's just retrenching.
The natural question going through many people's minds right now is, what can I do? How can our listeners here across the network, how can they get engaged in this issue? Are there ways that they can intercede on your behalf? Is there ways that they can get involved on this on a national basis? What can people do?
I think, yes, number one, people need to pray and fast. I mean, I was reading the book of Esther the other day, and, you know, the people of God were targeted for destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the response? Well, if I die, I die. I've got to, but have the people pray and fast. Don't eat anything. Don't drink anything for three whole days. You know, we've got to stop and reflect about the seriousness of what's going on right now. And I think that's number one. We as individuals need to pause and say, wait a second. Something bad is happening. And there is an intentional legislative design to attack an entire category of people and anybody that stands in our way, pro-life people. So number two, I would say, start talking about the equal value of all human beings because we're made in the image of God. Because we're made in the image of God, we have dignity. We are inviolable, not to be violated. And that starts at fertilization. That starts the moment when we have our own separate and unique DNA. We need to start raising the dialogue with our friends and our family and our coworkers about what it means to be human, because abortion represents a fundamental misunderstanding about what it means to be human, and it's our job to as the church to be the voice and also the hands and feet. And the hands and feet of Christ are also bearing witness of the truth. We're gonna go out there and we're gonna talk to our legislators and ask them to talk about the fact that abortion is wrong and all people need to be protected. We're going to go to church and we're going to ask our pastor to preach about it, these first principles about what it means to be human. We're going to go to our place of work and we're going to talk about why this is so important. This is what we need to do. And then we need to get involved. We need to give the pregnancy. We need to help the pregnancy centers. We need to volunteer. We need to staff these pregnancy centers. And just keep moving forward and don't let anything stop us.
Okay, we're going to come back to that fourth point after the break. Folks, amazing information here today. Pastor Jim Harden with us from Compass Care Pregnancy Services. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Looking back at Dwight L. Moody's life, it is tempting to focus solely on what God accomplished through a common man from Northfield, Massachusetts. Preaching to millions, starting multiple schools, spearheading the Christian publishing movement, and inspiring men and women to Christian service is difficult to ignore. Yet surely, why God used D.L. Moody is as important as how God used him. In the book, Useful to God, author James Spencer presents 8 lessons from the life of D.L. Moody with practical applications for the reader. You'll see how he was surrendered, prayerful, studious, and more as he was consumed with a passion for lost souls. This book will challenge you to cultivate these characteristics in your own life. Useful to God is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Unequal justice here, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, classic case as to what's happening with some 47 pro-life centers that have been targeted by extremists. Can't find anybody who's doing anything wrong here, but it's a one Planned Parenthood that was attacked within 4 days. They've got the perpetrator, allegedly. Well, friends, these are issues that are going on right now. We're talking today with Pastor Jim Harden, the president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services. They are based in New York, a state that is very rabid pro-abortion. But we were just asking and talking about issues that have had not only happened at their center, but in centers around. The FBI asleep at the switch. You know, they have no problem whatsoever combing through those crowds January 6th on just on the outside grounds and finding people and seeing charges brought against people just out there in the crowds. No problems with that. Or people would walk through the doors at the open doors, you know, people who opened up the Capitol for them to come on in as law enforcement sat by there. No problem getting that all targeted. Just don't ask us to get involved in who's doing the firebombings at these pro-life centers. Don't bother us with who's engaged in making these phone threats and the vandalism and the graffiti. You know, it just, you know, we're still looking. We're looking. We're investigating. Well, folks, it's time for that justice to be equalized. And we were just asking our guest here today, Jim Harden, what can people do? And number one, he said, pray and fast. Number two, and let me just say this here on a side note. This coming Saturday, VCY America is teaming up with Trail Ridge Camp in Hillsboro, Wisconsin. And I'm going to be leading a day of prayer at Trail Ridge Camp. That's this Saturday, the 27th. We're starting at 9 in the morning. It's not an all-day event, but from 9 in the morning till 2:30. And we're going to have a time of confession. We're going to have a time of thanksgiving and praise and a time also of petition before the Lord. And we're going to be praying for the state of the family. We're going to be praying for the state of the church. We're going to be praying for the state of this nation. And we'd like to encourage you to be at this event this Saturday at our day of prayer. And let me just mention this, that in order that they have prepared, there's no cost for this. They're providing lunch, but they will take up a free will offering to help with that. But today is a final day to get registered for that at trailridge.org, trailridge.org. So pray and fast. That's number one. Number two, start talking of equal value of all persons, Jim said. Number three, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And number four, get involved. And I'm going to have you expound on that a little bit further here, Jim, because that break came up on us quickly as you were talking about that fourth step of get involved.
Yeah. Well, there's so many different ways people can get involved with their pro-life organizations in their areas. There are pregnancy centers and other pro-life advocacy organizations that desperately need people. We need essentially digital Delta Force, if you will. We need people that are willing to go online and social media and raise awareness around the equal value of human life and what it means to be human under God, that we're all made in His image and deserving of blessing and protection, etc. We need people that are willing to go to pregnancy centers and say, what do you need? Can I be a volunteer? Can I be a staff member? Can I help you with marketing? Can I help you with fundraising? Can I help you with events? Can I help you? I mean, you name it. Can I help you with your groundskeeping? We need people who are willing to stand shoulder to shoulder and be willing to be treated like a second-class citizen for the sake of the most vulnerable of society. There is no one more weak or vulnerable in society than a child whose mother thinks that she has to choose between her life and her baby's life. It doesn't have to be that way. And God gives us tremendous power, because we can enter His throne room. We now have a voice before God the Father because of what Christ did for us on the cross.
Amen.
And we can petition Him and ask Him to give us resources to leverage for the sake of the weak and the vulnerable, women and their preborn boys and girls.
You know, Jim, I'm thinking also about what we're seeing coming from corporate America and all of this, and we need to raise our voices up against corporate America. I mean, I'm just appalled at what lengths corporate America is taking to ensure that their future customers are killed. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, one of the latest is Walmart, who just been reported last Friday that they're expanding their abortion coverage for its employees. CBN.com reports that coverage for employees includes abortion-related travel expenses. They report that according to an internal memo, the company said its health care plans will now cover abortions for employees when there is a health risk to the mother, which, by the way, can mean anything, rape or incest, ectopic pregnancy, miscarriage, or lack of what they call fetal viability. I mean, Jim, we need to speak up against this when corporate America has taken actions like this.
Oh, we sure do. And they need to be – look, if you're an employee at one of these organizations, you should file a lawsuit against them. This is a classic pregnancy discrimination. These organizations are essentially bullying with these policies. These policies are bullying women who are pregnant into getting an abortion. Why? Because they're incentivizing them with travel expenses and to pay for the abortion out of state. They're incentivizing them not to have a child. Why? It benefits the business. It benefits Walmart. It benefits Google. It benefits all these organizations because now they don't have to pay for maternity leave. I mean, they're saving hundreds of thousands of dollars by encouraging women to get abortions instead of having their babies. I mean, this is flat out wrong, and they need to have lawsuits all over this country telling them so.
Folks, it's outrageous what's going on. Give us your website here, Jim, if you would.
Yes, it's CompassCareCommunity.com. CompassCareCommunity.com.
Folks, you can learn more information about the work that they are doing. But I'd like to, in the interest of time, we're going to open some phone lines. I've got probably another hour's worth of discussion with our guest today. But let's open our lines here. 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. I'm seeing all the Me Toos jumping on board, you know, whether it was Target and then Walmart. I see also now even the USA Gymnastics are going to boycott pro-life states when their president recently spoke with the Associated Press saying her organization plans to avoid states with abortion restrictions and bans when considering where to hold future events. She said this, "We want to be able to align with cities and locations that are also aligned with our value system." And I ask myself, value system, Jim, well, what kind of values is it to kill a child?
A value system only makes sense if there are values. If the value that they're holding is, absolute personal autonomy and a total disregard of anyone else's human life, then that's not a value system. That's basically just evil. And you're talking about a gymnastics organization? Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, USA Gymnastics.
Yeah, US Gymnastics. Well, what they're doing is they're trying to make sure that their gymnasts are not hindered from being gymnasts by getting pregnant or by having their baby. What happens when a gymnast gets pregnant and she's a competitor? Well, they lose their competitive edge. So of course, you know, this is not their value system has nothing to do with what it means to be human under God. It has everything to do with their own private personal interests, and they're not interested in helping women. They're not interested in protecting women's rights. They're interested in protecting their own interests as a gymnastics corporation.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Ladies and gentlemen, what is your response to this? 800-733-9829. Let's go to Dominique in Mequonico, Wisconsin. Dominique, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I was just wanting to bring up a different approach. Just, I think sometimes we as believers have a naivety or a apathy even about what our legislators are really doing. We elect pro-life legislators, and then we kind of just leave them to their own devices. And I know that in Wisconsin, if you actually track back what they're doing, when they have a liberal Democrat in key positions in the state, like we do right now, they pass pro-life legislation because he will veto it. But when you have Republican legislation, they kill them before they even get out of committee. They weren't even holding public hearings on stopping the sale of baby body parts.
Yeah,
Republicans, you know. And I think as believers, we really need to hold them accountable throughout their service. They're supposed to be serving, and also to realize what are we doing wrong before they actually get on the ballot. And me personally, I believe that there's a lot of people that don't vote for the true pro-life, 100% pro-life candidates in the primaries. And so when you don't vote for them in the primaries, they don't make it on the ballot in November. And I grieve because every single 100% truly pro-life candidate lost. in Wisconsin.
Wow.
And anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you, Dominique. Appreciate your call. Your response there, Jim.
I agree, Dominique. There is an apathy relative to holding legislators accountable to behaving in a pro-life fashion when it comes to legislation. And I think one of the reasons why these Republican or pro-life, quote-unquote pro-life legislators don't do anything once they finally get into office is because they need the abortion issue to get reelected. So we are facing a danger here. For pro-life people, this is the best of times and the worst of times. While we all celebrate the victory of the Supreme Court reversing Roe, I think the apathy has lulled people back into a slumber again. We stand to lose all the pro-life gains that the Dobbs decision is affording us at the midterm elections, because these pro-abortion candidates are way outspending Republicans by probably 8-1 on abortion advertising, and they're winning. They're winning. This is the Democratic base is animated, and the pro-life Republicans, if we're gonna solidify our gains through the Dobbs case reversing Roe, we need to get pro-life legislators in office who are actually going to do the right thing and make sure that we protect all people, not just outlaw abortion, right? We need to make sure that all people are protected under the Constitution and are afforded their right to life. And that includes the preborn ones, the preborn boys and girls. It's not up to the government to determine who qualifies as a person and who doesn't. That is the ultimate act of partiality, and that's as the justice system, it needs to be blind. We can't make determinations about who qualifies for justice and who doesn't.
Friends, we welcome your calls. Do you agree? Do you disagree? 800-733-9829. Justin in Middleton, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have two really quick points. One, I think, we point out all these organizations that are providing extra abortion care and all this stuff and such. I think it's time for us as Christians to stand up against these corporations and not support them with our own money. I think that's important. And then secondly, real quick, you talk about the USA Gymnastics. And, of course, we know how well they responded to the situation with Larry Nassar. I know that's a little off topic, mm-hmm. but this is an organization that's not concerned about others. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for your comment there. And it's important to keep that in mind. And these issues that are taking place before us, ladies and gentlemen, it's astounding to see what lengths we'll go to take an innocent human life. And that's what happens with abortion. And there's a lot that's going on right now with the promotion of abortion here across this land, whether it be that of a black market with the abortion pills, whether it be the Biden administration pushing abortion right now and trying to force it across this land. It is amazing to see what's taking place. But we're up against a break. We'll take the break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. This is Crosstalk here on VCY America. Our guest, Pastor Jim Hardin, their website at Compass Care Pregnancy Services, CompassCareCommunity.com. CompassCareCommunity.com. Yes, they've been targeted along with 47 other pro-life agencies by groups like Jane's Revenge. FBI, well, so far we just can't find anything here. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I am just hours home from the Moment of Truth Summit sponsored by Mike Lindell. I helped him organize this, and my camera crew produced the entire television special. And I was even shocked. And I've been on the inside for 18 months. In fact, I helped to introduce Mike Lindell to one of these individuals, Dennis Montgomery. We were criticized roundly, but we found out Sarah Carter, John Solomon, and Sean Hannity even were talking about him on television as well a few years ago. On the documentation, what is it, my friends? Bottom line, we've got a problem with machines, cyber hacking, and we've been ridiculed and criticized. But it appears now all the information is coming out. It's being documented. Apparently, we now have a uniparty, Republicans and Democrats working together to decide who they want in office, not we the people. More information at frankspeech.com.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Jim Hardin is with us today, president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services out of New York, and taking your calls here today on the program. And so appreciate hearing from you. Jim, that last caller here just dealing with this issue of Big Pharma. I mean, certainly there's culpability there, is there not?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think we're looking at major consumer fraud. You know, the Biden administration wants to declare a limited health emergency around abortion and abortion access, and that, and thereby deregulate chemical abortion, mm-hmm. which would insulate physicians as well as pharmaceutical companies from any liability of anything bad that happens to a woman. And we know that chemical abortion is 400% more dangerous than surgical, almost five times more likely to land in an emergency room after starting the process. So, yeah, it's a serious concern.
Let's go to Sun City West out of Arizona, and let's see. Ann, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I just am upset that you people say that an ectopic pregnancy being taken care of is a form of abortion, and that is totally wrong.
No, we did not say that.
Okay, is it, if somebody has an ectopic pregnancy, what do you think should happen to them?
Jim?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ann. She needs to have that taken care of, otherwise she will probably die with respect to a rupture or sepsis or something like that. So she needs emergency medical care to take care of that ectopic pregnancy.
Yeah. And what if the baby's heartbeat has stopped? Do you just let the baby stay inside the mother and let her get sepsis and die?
Oh, no, that requires emergency medical care. So let me just define what an abortion is, because I think there is some confusion out there. There has been some confusion fomented intentionally by National Public Radio and others about the definition of abortion. The definition of abortion is the intentional separation of the healthy mother from a healthy child with the express intention of destroying the life of that healthy child. That's what an abortion is. And so are there would a woman who's facing an emergency situation be disqualified from emergency care? No. No one in the medical field would ever even consider that. It's basically OB care. You've got to provide emergency OB care. That's different than abortion. Most of the time hopefully it's very rare that ectopic, well, we know for a fact that ectopic pregnancies are very rare. Mm-hmm. And miscarriages are not. And so sometimes a woman needs help with clearing the miscarriage, because we're talking about a child who's already died and potentially creates a risk of sepsis in the mother.
And I would like to encourage you. We did have a medical doctor with us just about a month ago, Dr. Tara Sander Lee, a medical doctor. And that was one of the issues that we discussed on the July 27th Crosstalk program here. She was one of the contributors to the book called Choose Life.
Okay, I didn't hear that, but I was listening a few minutes ago. That's why I called, is because a lot of people, and I thought you were saying that ectopic pregnancy was an abortion, and if the baby's heartbeat stops beating, it's an abortion. And I know women have to jump through a whole lot of hoops now to get surgery if their baby's heart stops beating, and they're already going through a great loss of losing their baby, and then they have to jump through more hoops to get the surgery, and I don't think that's right. And can I go off topic a little bit?
Well, I'm not going to have you go off topic, and I don't know what you're going to ask, but we've got 3 minutes left in the program and multiple other callers lined up here, so just wanted to stay on topic there. So thank you for understanding, and thank you for calling. Janet is next in Iron Ridge. You're on the air.
Hi. 22 years ago was told my baby in my first trimester no longer had a heartbeat, and my doctor said, oh, well, this is where we do a D&C, or actually it's a dilation and suction. And I said, no, you're not going to do that, because that's not right. And I know it doesn't happen to every mother, but in my case, it happened two times. I lost my babies naturally. And anything to me about, you know, those are my babies, and they just took them, you know, and what do they do with them? And I guess I'm calling to say something needs to be done for, you know, a mother who just has her baby. I lost my babies at home, but my doctor said, oh, we need to make sure you know, the whole placenta there, blah, blah, blah. Yes, you're taking care of my health, too. But I wasn't given anything to have a goodbye, a service, or anything for my two babies that I lost.
We're so sorry for your loss, to Janet. Any comment, Mike, that you would like to share, or Jim, that you would like to share?
I would say yes. I'm very sorry for your loss, and I would encourage you to, if you're sensing a tug in your heart, to have some sort of service and memorialize those your two children. The Lord sees them, and the Lord sees you, and I think He'd be honored by that too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janet, for the call. Christine is next. You're on the air.
I don't know if you can answer this question or not, but I have heard tell that individuals who've been under the oppression of Chinese Communist policy, one-child policy, when they come here, they feel abortion should be allowed because they don't want that more government control. Is that an anomaly, or is that incorrect in that, with just a faulty worldview?
Well, that's a good question, Christine. That's the first time I've heard it, although I do know quite a few people who are from China, although I have to admit that most of them are Christians, and they hold kind of to the same view as we do relative to the value and sacredness of human life in the womb. So, that's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, and it would seem to be a contrast, Christine, with a biblical worldview, and certainly that's what we espouse for the broadcast. Thank you for the call. We're out of time, and apologize to other people waiting at this time. Our guest, Pastor Jim Hardin, President and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services, based in New York, their website, compasscarecommunity.com. Jim, thank you so much for carving out the time to join our listeners today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, as always. Thank you.
And friends, keep them in your prayer. And all of these other 47 agencies, pro-life agencies that have been firebombed or attacked or graffitied or to have this extremist violence taken out against them. And be praying, too, that law enforcement would step up to the plate and really investigate as they do these other matters as well. Indeed, justice has been unequal. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.